The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, welcome along to the Let's Get Running podcast with me, the White Devil, Sean, and the Caramel Kid, Jermaine. How are you doing, Jermaine?
What? I'm good. You? What are you up to?
I'm sitting here, I'm looking out the window in what's going to be my baby's nursery, which is arriving, hopefully, fingers crossed, in the next couple of weeks. And I'm looking outside and there's a cat that's trying to get in through the window right now. He's staring straight at me, which is nice. It's a nice way to start the show with a cat in it. What about you? You're back at work?
I am back at work. Craziness.
Yeah.
So I just joined my new garage.
Yeah.
And go to see the manager for the first time, and I shake his hand and see how it's going. And then he goes, oh, I can't talk long. I've got a situation. I'm like, all right. He goes, two drivers was just having a punch up inside the garage. I was like, oh, this sounds like a really pleasant place.
Yeah, everyone's getting on with each other.
And then that was the first day.
Yeah.
Then the second day, I pulled my bus in, and you know, one of those Boris buses, them new shiny buses.
Yeah.
So they're a quarter of a million pounds.
Yeah.
It basically someone had crashed the whole front and it had squashed it, almost like a sardine can squashed. I was like, wow.
This is how they roll. They're hotheads in this new bus garage.
No. Because everyone goes, oh, why are you going to this garage? Why are you going to this garage? They're ghetto. I said, it should be all right. Oh, they're ghetto. Okay.
Where is the garage, or is that a secret?
South East London?
So for all our London listeners out there, which routes are we going to see Jermaine riding the bus on from now going forward?
Well, at the moment, I'm route locked to 188.
188, okay.
Check out. So I'm back on my old route, so that's fine. That's all good.
Yeah. Remember, buy those t-shirts, get on the bus, find Jermaine, take a photo, get it on Instagram, and the internet is yours. You won the internet.
If anyone got on my bus with that t-shirt, I'd park the bus up, say, this bus terminates here, and I'd give that person a free lift.
Whatever they want. Yeah. For all people who are new to this show, who are listening to this for the first time, they won't know what the hell we're on about, but we are obviously two runners. Jermaine is a bus driver. I am living over in Amsterdam, but we want to talk today because we've got a really big guest on today's show. It's Kilian Jornet. So we're going to talk to Kilian in a little bit. And during the interview, it's clear that like Kilian, doesn't define himself as a runner per se. So he defines himself as someone who lives in the mountains and wants to be fast at moving through the mountains. So during the summer, he runs. During the winter, he skis. And it's not about running per se for him, although he is a disciple of the sport as it comes out during the interview. But it's about how he defines himself. And that is someone who wants to move fast in the mountains. And we thought, how do we define ourselves? That's quite an interesting question. How do you, as a runner or as a person, how do you define yourself and what you do? What do you think, Jermaine? How do you define...
what do you do? I say I'm a track athlete, so I just call myself a track runner because obviously that's what I was best at.
Yeah, okay. When anyone asks about you, I always say, I always say he's the fastest bus driver in London, but I always say, oh yeah, he's the British 1500 meter steeplechase record on it. And like, oh wow. And I'm like, it's because no one's done it.
That's a low blow. It's like the mountain.
I could set that record.
What, 40? You can't even run 404 for 1500 on the flat.
That's true. I'm just winding you up. But
and it's like Sean's claim to fame. If we're doing a dissing match, Sean's claim to fame is getting a GB vest for running downhill fast.
Yeah. And I didn't even finish the race. I fell over.
Yeah. And that's because no one does it. Yeah.
That's very true. But has it changed? Like now you don't run as much. Do you still think, do you still look at track runners and still feel like one of them? Do you know what I mean?
Not really, because obviously I know I can't compete and stuff because I'm just not in shape.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would say is like, running obviously helped me in loads of different attributes in life, because you think running as a whole, you have to be good at communicating because you meet loads of people. Because before I started running, I was quite shy. I didn't really speak to much. So when you get into running, you know, like obviously you have to talk to people because you've got to find out what the session is and you join the group.
Yeah.
So you have to have that level of, you know, like communication.
Yeah.
And then also even small levels of mathematics, because you need to work out you're going once around the track, oh that's 400 meters and then you've got this much time for recovery, so you know, like it does help in certain aspects and stuff.
And I think as well, having that good identity as a runner gives you confidence. Like if you know you're good at something, you're confident about it, you know you're a part of a wider kind of thing, a wider group. It gives you confidence that you belong to something. Like I went to Exeter University, and my first year, I didn't like university. I just thought it was a waste. Like it was, I preferred my sick form. Like I didn't think it was very. Like I was quite in a bad hall that wasn't really very friendly. But actually, what running did, having a part of a running club, it made me, you know, like you say, find new friends. It made me have an identity that I wasn't ever alone, because you always had the running. Do you know what I mean?
It just brings, because like organisation, you have to be organised, you know, like meeting people, punctuality. Yeah. It definitely helps with aspects of normal day life without even realising it.
Yeah. And I think I tend to define myself as someone involved with running above anything else, like my job or whatever else, because that's just, and admittedly I work in running, so it makes a difference, but it does, like you say, change you so much. Like I'm way more, I think, organised and productive. I know that I've got to fit in certain things during the course of the day, and I make sure I organise my time to do that. And I think it also, it does a little bit make you a bit headstrong, so I know that, like, I would do things to the detriment sometimes of people that I care about, because I'm so one-track mind about, I've got to do this run, I've got to do that, and I've got to do this. And even that spills into work a little bit, because you think, this is what I have to do, this, and this, I'm going to do this, and this. And you become a bit too focused. So there is there's negative points to it, but it's made me so much more confident and productive and I don't know, creative as a person, that I couldn't do without it. Do you know what I mean? I think.
Yeah. Because it's like, you can't imagine what you'd be like if you didn't run.
Yeah, I can't.
Because your personality would be different, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I remember when I didn't run, I used to go, I got into, I got in a bit into the weights and the gym and stuff, and like only for like a couple of years. I ran as a teenager, and then I
go to lifting the baked bean tin.
Lifting level
weights.
Yeah. We had it was me and my mate at work. A couple of us. We all lived together, and I made a bench and had it in my room. We used to call it Dick's Gyms, and we used to go in there, oil each other up.
So what was the bench? Explain.
I know, I did buy a bench, but I bought some weights and stuff. And my bedroom was the gym, so we used to go to the gym. But I remember,
did you put your Spider-Man bed sheets down? And you know.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, played a bit of music in there. It was good. Yeah, but I think I was, I think I was a bit more. I certainly got bigger, but I was a bit more, I don't know, I got myself into a bit more scrapes. I was a bit more aggressive, which is, you wouldn't imagine from me, I guess. And I'm sure if I hadn't had running, I would have been, you know, I liked the odd drink when I was a teenager. I think I might have gone a bit off the rails. But, you know, you never know, do you? It does, I think it saves you. And do you find people like who have, you know, alcoholics who have found running and it gets them along the straight and narrow and gives them something to focus their life around, so...
Well, loads of runners still like to party, like you think, and drink and stuff. Yeah. But the good thing about running helps wear off the blimmin' hangover, and also it keeps your body in a bit, you know, better condition, so you last a bit longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I guess Killian will talk a bit in the interview, like about how, like what running brings to him, and I guess like a sense of like exploration and being in the mountains and enjoying that kind of that feeling and experience. And I guess for us as well, like, it does, like, exploring your body is quite an interesting thing, like exploring how far. Yeah, not in that way, well, that sounds weird.
That sounds rubbing his nipple as he's telling me this story, yeah?
But I reckon, like, because when I was a baby, like, I was a kid, I went to the doctors and stuff, and you know, you have these medicals when you're a child, and then the doctor was like measuring my hamstring tightness and all that sort of thing, and he said, listen, because right. I was a chubby boy. I'm a fat man in a skinny man's body, basically. And he said that, yeah, don't worry about Sean. He's going to be all right, but he's never going to be an athlete. Never going to be much anything. And it's funny, like, because I think actually I've got absolutely zero talent at running. I'm rubbish at it. But what I've got is my body's got a talent for absorbing training. Do you know what I mean? So actually, like, for running is part of exploring how far my crappy body, that the doctor told me was crap when I was a toddler, how much I can manipulate my crappy body and get the best out of it. So I guess as well as Killian exploring mountains, I'm exploring my body is part of what the enjoyment of running is all about. But we should listen to him. We should stop rabbiting on about our bodies and be doing gym exercises in your bedroom with three mates.
if that's what you call it, Sean, before you're married, that's fine.
Dick's Gyms, everyone's welcome, come on round. But here we go, we're going to talk to Killian now, so here he comes up. So on this week's podcast we have incredibly Killian Journay. How are you doing, Killian?
Very good. How are you?
Very well, yeah. I'm not enjoying the weather here in Holland. It started to rain here, but hopefully it's better over in London where you are.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's clearer skies, just some light clouds. So, yeah, I think perfect temperature for running.
Perfect. And you're on a tour at the moment. What's the tour about?
Yeah, I'm doing a kind of press tour all around the world, and like just meeting people, doing some film shows and book signings. So, yeah, Busy Dice, like, we started in Bangkok, like, 5 days ago, and now we are in London, we have been in US, so, yeah, kind of all around.
Fantastic. And we're specifically, like, a running podcast, but you don't really define yourself necessarily as a runner, but how would you define yourself? What is it that you do?
Well, I think I go into the mountains. I love mountains. It's the place where I feel like kind of connected with something, and where I can do activities that motivate and that excite myself. So I think like running or other activities, as skiing or climbing, are kind of like tools to move on there.
Yeah. Okay. And so why is it that you train? What motivates you? What are you attempting to do? Are you trying to get faster? What's your goal with the activities?
Well, I think the goal, the ultimate goal, is to be happy, and to be happy for me is to be there. Like, I think what's interesting on running, especially, it's like a journey. It's a travel. It's an exploring, and you explore like the landscapes outside.
Yeah.
So and it's cool because like. Running, it's a pace that you can really embrace all the landscape at a speed that, like, when you go like driving or you go cycling, it's like you are watching like the landscape in a TV.
Yeah.
And when you are running, like, you can really feel it. You can smell. You can see the ground. So it's really like interesting to experience this the landscapes on the running pace.
Yeah.
And then it's also like an internal discovery, because it's to put challenges on yourself and to see if I can do it. So it's to discover at the end like who I am and where are my limits.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like it's something that you don't ever feel tired of, really.
No, like that, then like racing and like, the wish of, winning a race or some things like that. It's interesting in a way that it motivates you to push harder. Like, it's easier to train hard if you think, okay, in 2 weeks I have the race and I want to win and these guys are training very strong. So you need to do it, but it's just kind of like the excuse for really training hard.
Yeah. And in terms of the running and the racing, like, very early on, in sort of in your early 20s, you'd won all the major sort of mountain ultra trail events there was to win. Is there any event you look back on sort of during that period you look back with special affection at?
Well, I would say, like, what I'm happy about what I have been doing, and at that period it was more than like one special victory. It was the fact that I was able to run different distances at the same season, like do some really good results in ski mountaineering and like in some long distance run and short distance and vertical kilometers. So like I have always been looking more for being polyvalent and being able to run different distances than only like to try to perform well in one of those.
Yeah. And then, like, sort of, for us English listeners, the last year, it was 2017, you broke the Bob Graham Round record. What was that experience like? How does that fit into your kind of like your pantheon of a race and record breaking events?
Well, Bob Graham, it was amazing. Like, it's great. First, how many people is running? How many people is like enjoying the outdoors there in Lake District?
Yeah.
So it was great to be there and experience like this ambience, and then like the history of running in the mountains started here in UK and especially in the lakes in the 1600 and 1700 it was. So like if today I am running in the mountains or any people is running in the mountains, it's because at that time, like some guys started to run here in the Lake District. So like it was kind of like running in that history, and that's something that it's just amazing.
In the footsteps of a legend.
Yeah, exactly. Like and seeing what like Billy was doing at the time, and it's incredible how fast they were.
Yeah. Okay. And it's obviously with both mountaineering and with your running pursuits, you've been through some pretty challenging moments, right? I'm really interested in the psychology of both runners and mountaineers. Like, what goes through your mind, like, in when you're putting yourself in these difficult situations? I know it's difficult to say because they're all different situations, but when you think you can't go any further and you're really struggling, what goes through your mind? Do you have an internal battle and a dialogue in your head?
Yeah, sure. That many times it's hard, and like situations can be really on the limit and be very uncomfortable because it can be pain or because it can be dangerous. It can be like a objective risk. So I think it's very important to try to take away any emotion when you are doing these kind of activities, because like emotions is the ones that will put you in really dangerous situations. Take the bad decisions and at the end like have an accident or somehow. So both like you start to do like stupid things.
Yeah.
But the same like on the other side, like if you have euphoria, if you are like super excited and you have like explosion of happiness, that's the same. Like then you will take less attention and then you will do same mistake. So at the end it's like to try to be really cold blood and like to take the emotion away, but for that you need to train a lot on putting yourself in situations where you are not supposed to be comfortable and ending up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that difficult to train that in the way that, and you know, obviously where you live in Norway, you know the area, you know the terrain. Is it difficult to put yourself into situations where you feel uncomfortable in your training? How do you do that?
Well, I would say it's not difficult, but because you can always put yourself, like it can be on technical skills, like if you go to do things that they are technically in your edge, or if you are like running, like you can always do like really long distances. You can start running and run for 30, 40, 50 hours in your backyard or things like that, or going when situations are not very good. But it's not something that you can do like every day or every week or even every month. It's some kind of training that you cannot do a lot, because if you do a lot, like probably you die. So it's only like to choose the right times to do, and to do just like a few times during your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And how important is kit in terms of this? Because obviously you've been with Solomon for a long period since you were very young, right? Is that you were tied with Solomon?
Yeah, I started actually working with Solomon in 2004. So I was like 16 years old then.
Yeah, wow.
And and then the last 10 years we have been like working really close together. And I think what's cool with Solomon is that they have like some people that they are exclusively dedicated to help athletes to develop like gear and specific needs. So
yeah.
It's great like to have someone that you can call there and say, okay, I think I want to do this kind of distance or this kind of running, and is nothing out there that it's good for this activity, and start to work together on create gear. Just and many times it can be really crazy ideas, and they will probably never like go out, but it's good that it's that they have that that you can do it.
And I guess in difficult situations, and you when you've had a role in creating kit and you've had a role in the design process, does that do you have an inner confidence that you know what you're doing, because not only are you doing it, but you've had a say in how these pieces were created?
Yeah, and that's very important, because like when we think about gear developing, like many times we only think about performance, like to run faster,
yeah,
or we think about comfort, like to be comfortable. But like I'm out in the mountains like every day a year.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of hours there. So moments are many good moments, and it's many good bad moments too, because it's a lot of time there.
Yeah.
So also like it's about safety at the end, because like being super confident with the gear, it's to be safe too.
Yeah.
So like we want to be like not only good, but I think you want to have the gear that it's perfect to avoid like any problem. And
yeah.
And yeah, then like being really, really confident on what we have, it's key.
Yeah, and I think we share something. We have impending fatherhood. Is that right? Are you due to be a father?
Yeah. We are expecting a baby for this winter.
Fantastic. Us too. A couple of weeks in December, so it should be exciting. But being a father and becoming a father, is that going to change your attitude to exploration and risk taking at all?
Well, like I don't know. Like I think it's nothing that you can plan. Like it's something that I will see, and of course, like it will change a lot of things. Like mostly on logistics, I would say, like to go racing and see which races to do, and this kind of things. When it takes of how I will be or like feel in front of some risk. Like I think that's something that. I cannot plan it's just feelings. It's not like rational.
And sort of thinking now about your training, and your training's notoriously sort of free form, there's not a great deal of structure, but what does that specifically look like how do you plan your training out for a period of time, and then do you have very much structure to your training, or is it like the stories tell us, is it quite off the cuff and relax?
Yeah, like I don't have like a plan like day by day during like the whole year.
Yeah.
But I know like the periods I need to do, like now I'm in the off season, like these 2 weeks, so not training.
Yeah.
But and then like I know that I will need to have like a 1.5 months build up, and so like doing volume and doing this kind of exercises, and then like it's mostly then depending the kind of project or race I have, like if it's shorter, if it's faster, if it's more flat, if it's more technical, longer or more mountaineering, then I build I have like a more specific period that it can be from 1 week to 3 weeks, and there I really try to do some more workouts that they are really specific for this kind of of race or project. So actually I listen a lot the feeling when I'm running to see how my body is doing, but I like to read a lot of physiology, and I like to see what other people is doing there, like not only on mountain running, but like in athletics or in other sports, to get inspired and to try different things and see if it works well.
Fantastic. Because a friend of mine asked a question about your performance at the Ziesenau. And then obviously Robbie Simpson, who is a British mountain runner, but also a quick marathon runner now, but you're able to push him and you're able to you're as fast as him on the flat sections. Like, and he was wondering how you built that speed. And I guess you kind of answered that there, but is there any other thing you'd add to that?
Yeah, actually, for Ziesenau specifically, I did some flat sessions. Like 2 weeks before the race, I started to do some more like distance. So I was doing some weeks around like 210 to 220 kilometers.
Yeah.
And then like they were really like a flat week, so I was doing like only between 12 and 15,000 meters of elevation those weeks. So, like, at least I was doing 2-3 days a week, completely flat with a bit faster runs on that. So it was, try to get a bit used to run like on flat grounds.
Yeah, fantastic. And you are one of the best descenders in the world. Do you focus on that specifically, or have you always been naturally gifted at that, at descending?
Well, downhill running, I think, is nothing that you can really like improve very fast in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Because of course, I think like kind of like easy downhills, like when it's not very steep downhills, it's mostly like just muscular. So I think if you run fast in flat and you do like some speed running, it's good to work for the muscles for easy downhills.
Yeah.
But for technical downhills, like the secret is just to spend like thousands of hours in the mountains and to get used to the terrain. So it's not like a tip there. It's more to be really used to the terrain. And then it's more about reading the terrain than anything else. So yeah, it's to get a moment where you see a rock and you know if it's moving or not, and to see if you put the feet in this way or in that other way it will do that or that, and that's just to spend like a bunch of hours there,
hours and hours. And I've seen it written in various places in your book about how you had like irrepressible energy and determination when you were a young man. Like, I'm interested in your take is on that. What do you think your mentality was in young man, and what influenced you the man you are today? Does that make sense?
Like when I was young and when I was kid or teenager, like I was kind of focused and I knew it what I wanted to do, kind of. So like I wanted to train and like I wanted to explore myself and my body in the mountain. So I really didn't care about social life or like anything like that. So then it was easy to just spend hours, and I think I was passionate about that, and it really didn't care about anything else. So it was easy to put the work on that.
Yeah, and were you kind of difficult to almost to control? Were you hard? Were you always looking to push boundaries, even in all areas of your life? Were you always kind of keen to be on your own and to be out pushing and doing your own, setting your own course?
Yeah, I think like it was like a lot of like all the training, it was by myself, and it was good to have like people like guiding that, like people like the coach and everything. But it was also interesting, like to see what others do. But it was about like pushing and exploring, myself and the limits. I think it's interesting to see who we are, and to do that, like we need to explore the limits in each part of what we do.
And thinking about what's made you kind of the person you are today, like you're also, you know, quite, your stature suits mountains, you're short and powerful, and what else do you think it is, coupled with that kind of desire to explore and your stature, what is it that set you apart and enables you to have such success, and do you think?
Well, I think that it's mostly like I think it's two things. First, like, one is motivation, like to be able to run for long and to keep performing for long is to keep motivated. And I think for that, it's like, I would say, like, I love to run. I love to be out. Like, it's not any day that I wake up and it's like, oh, I need to do that. It's like every day I wake up, I open the window and it's like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
So that's easy. Like, it's, and I think for that, it's important to think, to realize that what we do, it's not important, like to win a race or to, I don't know, be world champion or whatever. Like, it's really not important. And when you realize that what we do is that, then it's like, it's freedom. And we see that then it's really important only for us.
Yeah.
So I think that's, in motivation, it's key.
Yeah.
And on another way, I think, like, for the body, doing different activities, it's good for long-term careers.
Okay.
Like, probably if you want to run faster, like, you need to really, like, run and only do one activity all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that can mean, like, more injuries and more, like, maybe, like, overtraining or things like that. So I think, like, cross-training or... Like, I only run, like, 6 months a year, like, from November to April. Like, I don't run a single day. It's only, like, about skiing.
Yeah.
So I think that that really helps on the body to use other muscles and to use other things and then get fresh.
Yeah. I was going to ask, actually, about your ability to recover, because that is one thing, obviously, with, you know, with the two trips to Everest and various other races where you've run hard runs between sort of various big races and challenges. So obviously you have a great ability to recover. Do you attribute this to anything particularly?
Well, recovery, it's like, since I was kid, it was something that I was good at. Hmm. And I think it was because we were doing a lot of activity when we were like kids. From when I was 2 years old, we started to do some long hikes. And then, like, every weekend, every time, like, going to the... Yeah. To the mountain. So then it was I think the body started to get used to the things, so then it started to create mechanisms to recover well between.
Yeah.
So I think childhood it's a key period for, like, building what our body will be.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's mostly like to get used to do that in training. Like, people cannot expect to recover between one race to another if they train, like, 10 hours a week, because, of course, like, the body then thinks that a race is something that it's a big effort. But if you are used to train, like, 30, 40 hours a week and hard, then when you do a race, it's nothing more than another, like, kind of training day.
Yeah.
So then the body is used to recover.
Yeah. And then, and obviously, like, you were talking about these events and these challenges that you do. Like, it sounds, the next question sounds a bit weird, but I was going to say, do you lead a simple life? And, like, what is it that brings you, like, the most satisfaction and happiness in your life? And where are you most content, do you think?
Well, what brings me probably the satisfaction, I think it's first to visit places and to see new places.
Yeah.
Like this external exploration, but it's also like to try things, the curiosity, and curiosity of see if something is possible.
Yeah.
And really, like, it's about doing things that I haven't done before.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I don't know, like, I have the idea of doing this, and it's because it's exciting when it's in the limit between something that is realistic and something that I don't know if it's possible. So I think it's just the projects that are in this line that they are very exciting.
Yeah.
So it's projects that I would say that I fail the 50% of the times.
Yeah.
So then it's when it gets exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is that feeling like that you're searching for then? So can you put your finger on it? Do you know what it is? With that finding new exploration and trying these things that you find difficult, is there like a feeling, a sense of satisfaction that you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think at the end, like we try to achieve like happiness, and happiness can come from many things. It can be this reaching goals. It can be about like adrenaline feelings when you are doing some kind of skiing, for example. It can come from being in doing a great activity with someone, with a good friend, or your partner. So it can come from many different things, but then it's all right to be happy.
Yeah. And a question about sort of the mountain running scene. Like, there are so many different sort of trail running, sky running, mountain running series. Do you think the scene as a whole would benefit from a coordinated attempt to bring all the best athletes, the best mountaineers together on one day to race?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a thing that I think all the attitude is when we race, like you want to be in races where it's a lot of people and it's very, like the density is important and the fight is real. So it's a few races where it's like that. We were talking Serginal before that it meets a lot of people from different backgrounds, and that's great because you know that it's always challenging. But yeah, it's many races that you know before what you will do, like your result, and that's not very fun at the end, because like we like competition for fighting. So yeah, I think like at the moment, like it's so many different things out there, and then it's also like for people it's hard to understand, like we think that running as a single sport, but like you cannot compare either like Urban Zemmer, that he is the best doing like, or he has been the best in the last years doing like vertical kilometers with like Francois Den, that he is doing like a long distance. So I think we need to understand that the sport is not something that we can pretend to describe as a format, but it's very different, and you cannot compare like the fell running here in UK, because it's very technical. It's not like you go just straight with the races in US, where it's kind of flattish and you need to follow the trails all the time. So I think that's also beautiful in the sport, is not to try to make a format, say like in athletics, like wherever you race in the world, like it's always the same race. Like in trail running, it's completely opposite. And I think that should remain.
That's part of the beauty. And looking ahead now, so you're in your off season at the moment, but what's your, over the next 6 months, do you have any kind of goals? Are you aiming towards anything particularly?
Well, the next 6 months will be like the winter season, so only with the skis for me.
Okay. And the baby, obviously.
Yeah, and the baby, obviously. So, yeah, no, but it's, I haven't decided next season. I will probably want to do some races, like some short ones, some long ones, and some project in the mountains. Yeah. But I don't know yet where that will be.
Yeah.
Now I'm excited to start the skiing.
Yeah, fantastic. And at what age, I'm now having thoughts about being a father, and what age I'm going to get my daughter running. What age do you think you'll get your child's going to be on the skis out there on the slopes? Have you set a target?
It's hard to plan. It's hard to see, but I think like we would like to take our kid like to the mountains as we do. I think like it's just to keep like natural with life, and just like when we go for a tour in the mountains, just like to have the kid with us in the backyard first. And like, I don't know, like I started to walk by myself when I was like 11 months, and since then being out of the backpack. But then I think it's the kid that will decide when it likes to start to walk.
Good genes anyway, I think.
Sure. It's a good experience. Or like, yeah, you know, You know better than me, probably. So it's an exciting journey.
Yeah. And I've got three quick fire questions to finish off the interview. And they start with, if you could be anywhere now, exercising, running, skiing, climbing, where would it be?
Well, right now, probably like home in Norway, like just to be there and like to start to ski in those mountains. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Second question is, can you recommend us something? Or it could be a couple of things that you'd like us to check out.
Sorry, some things too.
Can you recommend us anything? So, anything you like. It could be the film or a book or anything you'd like to recommend to us, the listener.
Well, I like for relaxing, like literature. Like I like to read and. And like now I has been reading some good books of like for example like Milan Kundera or Alessandro Baricco.
Yeah.
So like I think reading is a really great way to relax and then like to improve. I think it's like read like science papers, like go to websites like PubMed or that and look like to where you want to improve. It's also like about reading, it's about like seeing what other people is doing and try to do it, to find a way to do it yourself.
Fantastic. And what about kind of your film and book? Is there a recommendation for those two?
Yeah, no, that's not me to say. Like, of course, like I would say that my film or like my books, like I hope people to read, but that's not fair. Like, kind of like it's. I cannot have an opinion on that, but yeah, I hope that people enjoy it. Like, actually, the film it's focused on the last expedition in Everest, but more than that, I think it's all the journey since I was kid. What were the moments, the decisions, the hard moments that make me do Everest in the way I did.
Yeah.
And the book, it's a bit the same history, but also like more like some good images and some nice facts there.
Yeah, fantastic. And our final question, let's do it one more to go, is what in your opinion, and it's a question we asked to all of our interviewees, what in your opinion is the greatest endurance feat or performance of all time? And you can take that question how you like to interpret it.
Yeah, wow, like it's hard to say, and
yeah.
And like because we always like look or we are more impressed by the last one. So like I think Kipchoge is doing now, it's crazy. Like the time he did in Berlin this year, it's something like we haven't really realize and put in perspective that it's really really amazing. Or what he did in Monza, it was like something like it's really really for sure one of the biggest endurance feats. But also like for example what it's UK doing like with so many fast marathons, it's something incredible. But like that's today and that's what it's impressing us now. But if you look to the past, like it's so many facts, like things like that, and so it's interesting also to look back to the history and to see everything that has been has been doing during all the time.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's the end. So thank you so very much for your time, Killian. So good luck with your journeys around the globe. Have you got any more journey, like any more stages left? Are you back home in Norway soon?
Yeah, we have some. Like we are going to Milan this afternoon, and then like Paris and Barcelona. So it's
nice.
It's soon home. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad opportunity, is it, to get around to look at all these beautiful cities, I guess. It's nicer.
Sure, yeah, no, it's that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Well, good luck and good luck with your feats in the future and most importantly with bringing up that baby.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers, Killian.
Cheers.
So nice interview there with Killian. I hope everyone enjoyed it. It's good to hear his thoughts, and he's doing a tour around the world basically. So check out any his film coming up and obviously his book. Great to talk to him. So Jermaine, we've got to talk about our challenge.
Oh boy, wait a minute. Oh, this bus is reversing. I see you, Sean. I'm retiring. I'm retiring from podcast, Sean. See ya. Yeah. Go on. What have you got for me?
On the last couple of shows, if you are new listeners to the show, we previously did a challenge where I was aiming to run a marathon in under 2 hours and 20 minutes. And we got loads of advice from loads of people to give us some experts, like psychologists.
Project Dixon, we called that.
Project Dixon, yeah. Project 220 or bust.
And it was really exciting. We really enjoyed it. We enjoyed the podcast that came out of it. So we wanted to have a new challenge. And we announced that on the last show. We were looking for ideas. We've had some good ideas. We had a couple. Sean Renfer gave us an idea of trying the Armagh 5K. And if you know what the Armagh 5K is, it's like the fastest 5K in UK. It's absolutely mental.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So basically, they wanted me to be sweeper because I'd be dead last in it.
Yeah. It's a bit higher level of competition for us, but yeah, we might give that a go. That's a potential one. We had another couple. We had an Ironman was a suggestion, which I think we might give that one a miss. I think we had a specific Ironman. I'll have to find out what the Ironman was.
I'll have to wear two buoyancy suits because I don't swim too good.
That's what I said. Yeah, the caramel. I put hashtag caramel don't float. But so yeah, that was and that was from Alex. Alex, thanks for that. Alex, he suggested an Ironman that he's doing himself, so that could have been quite fun. One of the other ideas we had was actually from a rival. Well, I was going to say a rival podcast, but we're not rivals. We're all friends. You've got enough time to listen to more than one podcast, for God's sake. He's Greg and Bren from Project 259. They suggested we have a battle of the podcasts, which I think is an amazing idea. So what we're going to do, we've got to find the details and get the details sorted, but we're going to try and do either a half marathon or a 10K. In
10K. 10K sounds, that sounds nice. 10K sounds nice.
Let's be nice to the caramel. Let's make it shorter. Yeah. Perhaps only a mile, Jermaine. That might be help out.
Hey, 400. I'm all over that. I'm 400 metres.
But the idea was to have a race and have races on both sides of the pond. So we'd have a race over in America, which could be maybe the New York Marathon or New York Half Marathon, and a race over here in the UK, which could be the Big Half. So basically, the podcast hosts are going to run off
and we're going to find each other.
Against each other. And we'll take an average of our two times. So me and Jermaine have got to get ourselves in shape so we can run we collectively can run a good time, both of us, in that race. And all the other hosts
will do all the work. I'll let you do all the work, Sean.
So we'll see who the podcast hosts champions are. But also we're going to try and get you listeners involved. So we want you to run these races, you to enter them too, potentially. Don't do it yet because we haven't decided which ones we're going to do. And we will also see who the fastest listeners are. So if you listen to this podcast, and maybe you listen to another talk, maybe Marathon Talk, I think we're going to try and get those guys involved.
They've got to rep the podcast they want to be repping.
That's what you've got to do.
If you want to rep the Mandem.
Rep the Mandem. Free Mandem drink to all. Let's get running, runners. So if you want to rep us, you rep us. The details aren't finalised yet, but get yourself in order. Make sure the guys at the podcast you listen to, if you listen to a different podcast, get them involved, let them know about this challenge. It's going to be the best running podcast. Who's going to win? Who is the champion podcast? It's obviously going to be us. We are full of Mandem drink. We are ready for this. So yeah, that should be exciting. So yeah, get involved with that, and hopefully we can get that sorted. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, the next show we probably won't announce that on because I'm gonna be having a baby. But if we don't, I'll get the details out maybe on Twitter, but also on our next show. You've got plenty of time till next quarter one of next year, so we'll give you plenty of warning.
Training time.
Let's get ourselves in shape. Perfect. Right. So you're back off to the 1:08 this afternoon, Jermaine.
Yep.
Lovely.
Back on duty.
Don't crash it. Don't get any fights. Hey.
I'm not that kind of driver.
Nice one.
All right, sure. Yeah, cool. All right, Sean. I'll see you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.